It is 7:45 on a Saturday. Of course, you know what that means. Time for another wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Ted Farrell. Ted, good morning. Welcome to kind of the January thaw week.
Well, you said it. It's funny. I haven't seen anybody in shorts quite yet, but
you
I know
will.
It's going to happen today. Oh, yes. They'll be out there because, you know, think about it. It's been about a 40-degree, maybe in a 50-degree swing. In the positive for us, and you know, when it comes 2025, forget about it.
Absolutely. All right. Well, what can we talk about today?
Well, today we're going to talk about you know, and I've talked about it in the past. One of my favorite places in the world, it's the area of Burgundy. But more importantly, we're going to talk about some new wines that we just recently received, in the last month or so, that we're quite excited about. You know, when we last talked, we were in the Hospice de Bonne auction, and we're talking about Burgundy and what a great festival it is. And, you know, I was so excited. And whilst we were there, believe it or not, we did some work. We didn't entirely, you know, get absorbed in the culture and whatnot. We, you know, actually rolled up our sleeves and got some work done. And we brought in a new wine source, a new winery. And it isn't so new. It's called Patriarche. Now, Patriarche is one of the oldest wineries in Burgundy. It was actually founded in 1780 by Jean-Baptiste Patriarche, and it has a rich, rich history in the Burgundy area, in the Burgundy region. They actually bought an old convent from the Visitation Nuns back then, and you saw that kind of happen quite a bit during the 1870s, and not because, you know, the revolution was starting. A lot of the lands and things like that were owned by either royalty or the church. And you're seeing independent businessmen step in and take advantage of those opportunities. And Jean-Baptiste Patriarche did that exactly, where all of a sudden he increased the wine trade that they were doing. They, you know, perfected the distribution and expanded their market. And I think of that. That's back in about 1780. George Washington was still our president. And just amazing, amazing history. But they've survived all these years. The simple fact that they made a lot of very, very good wine. They have representation all up and down the Burgundy Valley. But more importantly, one thing you have to talk about, they're what they call negoces or negociants. And they really, they own a few vineyards here and there. But more importantly, what they do is they buy and contract the grapes and the vines, the wines from growers, and then they bring it into the town of Bonne and they make those wines themselves. So, it's a little bit, they work with the wine growers out there in the different fields. They make the wines and they do such, and again, such rich history. We're over time. Back in about 1902, one of the last shirt-tail relatives of Jean-Baptiste Patriarche took over, and her name was Naomi Varon, and she was a strong, strong woman. Now, it's difficult at times for women to be in the business community now, but think of how difficult it was way back then, and she really improved and expanded the cellars. They have some of the largest cellars in all of Burgundy. I think it's almost, and these are cellars underground, almost, I think it's 10K of cellars underground. It's a massive installation, true sight to be seen. They make great things. Now, they had a little bit of, you know, turmoil over time. You know, different sellers bought it in about the 50s. This group called Kreider bought it. And quite frankly, during that time, Kreider maybe focused a little bit more on volume than they did quality, where sometimes, the Patriarche brand, they faded out of, wine lovers' liking because it was a little bit thin, not the greatest wines. Well, then in about 2020 or so, the big group Castel bought it. Now, Castel is kind of a success story because Castel, you could almost say, Castel is kind of like the Sam Walton of France. He owns several wine shops. He owns several different wineries. He's really expanded the footprint, but he also focused on quality. And we hit it at the right spot because we went in, we tasted their wines, and we're truly blown away by the quality of the Patriarche wines. They are just fantastic, and they range from a wide variety of areas and a wide variety of prices. Like most places, they do a standard Bourbon Rouge or a Bourbon Blanc. And quite simply, that is just white Burgundy, red Burgundy. Dominant, or it's 100% Chardonnay, for 100% Pinot Noir. And it's a great little entry-level wine to get introduced into the Burgundy region. And that means, you know, they have a lot of different rules on what they can and can't call it. And the reason being it's just Bourgogne Blanc or Bourgogne Rouge is because those grapes come from the entire Burgundy Valley, not one specific village. It's just one particular valley. And what we also did, we brought in two Chablis by the Patriarch outfit. One is just the village Chablis. The other one is for Chamonix. The reason being, if you kind of follow some of the wine news around the world, the area of Chablis in 2024 was hit by a horrible, horrible hailstorm. And it knocked out almost 80% of the entire vintage that year as far as the hailstones coming down, knocking off the different the blossoms and the blooms on the grapes. It just literally wiped out the area of Chablis. In some regions, you know, a friend of mine was there tasting what little wine they did have, and they asked, hey, can we go out in the vineyards and maybe look at the grapes for the 2024 vintage to see how things are progressing? And the vigneron looked at him and said, if you can find the grapes, go ahead and look at them, because there was such little production because of that hailstorm. So we are hedging our bets, and we've got in some lovely 2021s, and even we have some 22 on the water coming in. And, you know, in my opinion, I think Chablis is the greatest expression of white Burgundy. Granted, there's other ones, Corton, Charlemagne, and even a Chateau Marache that they do. But I personally like Chablis. I think it's very approachable, very nice. And, you know, the village Chablis is very easy. It's very well-rounded. It's a nice intro into the Chablis. Now, the Forcham is a little bit more sophisticated. You know, it's a little bit more area-specific as far as the little area of Forcham. It has a lot more elegance, a little bit more depth, something like that. I just love to open up a bottle of Forcham, have a little bit of pâté, but more importantly, a little bit of that real soft cheese that he has, as the French say, a tad bit of the essence de merde, where there's a little bit of barnyardy to it. But you sit and kind of sip on that Chablis, you enjoy some of that soft cheese. It is just terrific. And, you know, that's the great way about all that stuff, is they have wonderful, wonderful expressions. They also have a little red wine that they do that the Bourgogne Blanc, or there was the Bourgogne Rouge, excuse me, is a nice, nice way to introduce yourself into the Burgundies. It is a little bit of that kind of black cherry, a little bit of a little bit of unripe raspberry to it, but it's so fresh, so wonderful. It's such a nice bottle of wine. But also down in the south, they also have an expression of Pommard. Now, Pommard, again, a little bit of the Côte de Beaune, which is down in the south. Wonderful Pinot Noir, but that has a little bit more elegance to it, a lot more depth compared to that Bourgogne Rouge, just because the soil is a little bit more concentrated. It's a little bit more area-specific compared to a Bourgogne Rouge. Again, the Bourgogne Rouge, similar to that Bourgogne Chardonnay, they can use grape variety, the grapes from up and down their entire valley, to blend into that Bourgogne Rouge. But the Pommard is so area specific, but it has some depth, a lot more flavor. It's a lot more intense, but on the finish, it's a tad bit elegant, which kind of is surprising when you're sitting there doing, you know, you're tasting a big sip of that and you see the elegance to it. It's quite nice. And the crazy thing about that, I mean, you know, to throw the food thing in there and it sounds, but a lovely Coco Vin. In this little kind of cool spot that we have, a little Coco Vin, that stewed chicken in the red wine sauce is just terrific with that Pommard. I'm almost wishing I might book some tickets, Denny, to go to France right now and go hop in on this thing right now.
Well, it sounds like the discovery doesn't happen too often, and you sound really excited about this find when you were there.
Well, you know, it's funny because it's on the outside of the parapet, which is the old walled sailing, and you drive by the Patriarch things. I drove past it for years, and you're always kind of like, well, how's that going? Why don't we do any of those wines? And my father and I would kind of talk about it, and it's because that Kreider, again, was focusing a tad bit more on the volume and getting wines all spread out around the world rather than really focusing on quality. And once Castel took it over, they, you know, really pulled in the reins, focused on quality, did some investment as far as more technology, and it is really exciting. And so it's kind of so exciting that we thought we would put together a little deal for the CCO listeners. So if you're listening today, stop into any one of the Haskell stores, ask for that WCCO deal, because the Burgon Chard and the Burgon Pinot Noir are about $20 bottles of wine. And so what we're going to do is, you come in, you ask for that, we'll give it to you for $15.99 for either the Chardonnay or the Pinot Noir, so you guys can see how excited we are about this kind of stuff. Because it is, you know, when you find that and you discover that, you realize, man, there is something to this wine world right now. So stop in any of the Haskell stores, talk to one of the folks, ask for that WCCO deal, $15.99 for a Pinot Noir, $15.99 for a great Chardonnay. You just can't beat that.
Oh, that's a great deal. So we'll remind our listeners as you take your leave this morning to do that very thing. You know, it's something I must admit, I don't explore French wines as much as I should have over the years. You know, every so often I'll have like a white Burgundy and go, wow, why don't I do this more often? Am I kind of typical wine drinker?
Well, yes. I mean, maybe, you know, sometimes the French wines can be very, very, say, intimidating, because some of them do have a very high price tag, but some of them, like the Burgundies or even the Loire wines, and at times the Rhone wines, are all named after the area in which they come from, rather than Joe Blow, Syrah. It, you know, they'll say Crow's Hermitage, or it's Burgon Chardonnay, or Pommard, where everyone kind of scratches their head saying, well, what the heck is Pommard? And it's based on geography, and so much of that is, the reason being is because they've been doing it and making wines for over 2,000 years since the Romans came in. So that there's a little bit of that, where you sit there and you see a Touraine from Loire, or you see these Pommards, or even the word Chablis, you're sort of, you know, you question, like, well, what is that? Now, things with, like, the Burgundy Valley especially has been horribly bastardized by our country and some of our winemakers, because they used to have those huge jugs of crisp Chablis, and there probably wasn't a drop of Chardonnay in any of that, or hearty Burgundy, those big jug wines that were red wines. And we didn't have the label laws that we do now. They could call it whatever they wanted. Over in California, they'd slap a name on it. And so many people thought hearty Burgundy was this, you know, big jug, 3 gallons of wine that was inexpensive, that was not very good. Actually, the Burgundy wines are some of the finest in the world. Even to this date, it's a Napoleonic law. When the French army marches past the Clos Vougeot, they have to salute it. They drop the flag and salute the Clos Vougeot, because Napoleon himself was such a fan of the Burgundy wines and the Clos Vougeot wines. So there's rich, rich history, and there's, you know, something to it. You know, most of the courts of all the royal courts around the all throughout Europe always had Burgundy on hand, because they knew it was so delicious.
Wow. Ted, we got to run. Let's tell folks again to check in, ask about that WCCO deal at any one of the Haskell's locations, which are what?
Well, we have Haskell's all throughout the metro area to take care of your needs and sell you a little bit of Burgundy. We have a Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis with lots of free parking on the weekend. We have a Haskell's in Minnetonka right across from Richdale Shopping Center. Haskell's in St. Paul Highland Village. Haskell's down in Loman's Plaza in Bloomington. Haskell's right in downtown Excelsior. Or if you're headed down south, swing by Haskell's in Faribault right off at 35E. So we have Haskell's out in Maple Grove, which is our super seller. So you stop in there, they'll take care of you, and you can just shoot all the great things that they have there. We have a Haskell's in Stillwater, Haskell's out in White Bear Lake as well, or you can swing by the Haskell's in Plymouth and stop in and talk to any one of the folks at Haskell's. Mention the WCCO deal, which is a few dollars off, $15.99 for the Patriarche Burgon Rouge or the Patriarche Chardonnay. It's a great way to step in, try these great Burgundy wines, and really get yourself immersed into that Burgundian culture.
Absolutely. Sounds great. Thanks, Ted. Let's talk next week.
I look forward to it, my friend.